talking through parables this morning, and if you could turn your Bibles to Luke, we're going to look through Luke chapter 13, and our focus is going to be verses 18 and 19 today. And if you have it, please say amen. Amen. If you don't, say hold on. All right, we got some time. And Luke is in the New Testament for some of us who are wondering. And it's after Matthew, Mark, and then we're in Luke. Are we there? Amen, amen. We're ready to go. So in the book of Luke, chapter 13, verse 18 through 19, it says, "He said, therefore, what is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? It is like a grain of a mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his garden, and grew it and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the worship. We ask that you were delighted in the praises of your people. But Holy Spirit, we just ask at this moment that you begin to speak to us in a way that your perspective becomes our perspective, and that anything that needs to be transformed at this moment is coming from your word, oh God. Lord, we ask, Father, that you would penetrate our hearts with your love, with your power, with your mercy, and most of all, with your word this morning. We ask, Lord, that you speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, as we look at this text, I want us to get the full context of what is happening here because it's a very unique setting. We have to understand in Luke chapter 13, verse 10 on down, I'm just going to express very shortly what is happening to bring the context out. But really what is happening is Jesus had just healed a woman who had issues with her back for 18 years. And he healed her in a synagogue. See, this woman had been had issues with a hunchback in her posture for almost two decades. And here she comes to the synagogue on one moment, and then she comes to Jesus, and Jesus begins to heal her. He unbends her back, and she is able to stand up straight. And the unique thing is that the synagogue was hype. I'm just letting you know, they were shouting, hooting, and hollering, just like Legacy Church does every week. Amen. We'll get there. But honestly, it's like this. There was a lot of excitement in the room. There was a lot of things that were happening, but Jesus was approaching the situation and brought healing to this woman. And then all of a sudden, although that there were many of those in that room that were very excited, there were some that were not excited at all. As a matter of fact, we call them the synagogue leaders within that room were upset at Jesus for healing a woman on the Sabbath. They said, "Why would you heal this woman on the Sabbath?" You have to understand that they were upset because what Jesus did not fit in their system. It did not fit within their practices. It did not fit within their mindset or what they felt valued to happen within a service. They thought things were supposed to happen a certain way, and Jesus came and broke their perspective just a little bit. But as they were being confronted, Jesus looked at them and said, "Why are you confronting me on this? Why are you being so confrontational?" And basically at that, he is calling out at that moment their hypocrisy. Their hypocrisy of, he shares it like this. Why would you talk about the Sabbath on this day when you go out of your way in the mornings to untie your animals to get water while God unties a woman to be healed for her life? Why would you focus on that? He calls out their hypocrisy. And I think for us, even in our day today, there are some things that we can notice. And I know that there are moments where we see hypocrisy, right? As a matter of fact, we were able to do a training as a staff the other week, and it was with Working Genius. We were able to find out about our working styles. It was very unique. And one of the things that was interesting about our working styles is that they brought up this conversation called fundamental attribution error. And basically, it's kind of saying the same word of hypocrisy. It's like we judge others by their actions, but ourselves by our excuses. You see, it's interesting the sight that the synagogue leader was looking at and the lens he was looking at. He was not looking in the lens of Jesus' perspective. He was looking at it in the lens of what fit in his mindset and his practices. And I think for us today, we have to acknowledge that where Jesus is, where he is walking in, we have to understand sometimes our perspectives can change. As a matter of fact, it can also bring rejoicing, just like it did to the people in the synagogue, right? And here's one thing that he says, because he's about to change their perspective on the kingdom of God. He takes this moment, he addresses the synagogue, and this is where we find ourselves in verse 18. He begins to ask this question, what is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it to? And in that question, it is a very loaded question. He is about to unload on them what the kingdom of God is like. He is about to share his perspective of what the kingdom of God is like. And understand this, there is probably many ideas, especially with the synagogue leaders, the disciples who followed after Jesus, for those who were in the synagogue at that moment, they've all had a perspective of what the kingdom of God would look like. As a matter of fact, you would think that the kingdom of God would be so big and so brash and everything. It would be something that would be very apparent, you know what I mean? And so thinking of this, thinking of the kingdom of God, thinking of the kingdom message, thinking of the things that Jesus had spoken about in the Sermon of the Mount, thinking of the healings of that Jesus had that they had seen Jesus do amongst the crowd, you hear a question like this with a teacher like this, he's going to say, hey, what is the kingdom of God like and what shall I compare it to? So he kind of is stirring up their hearts to hear what is it about. Could you imagine what your ears would be ready to hear? And then he says, it's like a mustard seed. It's like a mustard seed? Really, Jesus? It's a mustard seed? I'm thinking in the image of Isaiah, where he was able to see the dream and have that vision. I'm thinking it's like a train where his robe fills the temple. I'm thinking of the power and awesome. But you say mustard seed? That is unique. It is interesting because really what Jesus is trying to get their perspective to understand is that, yes, it is like a mustard seed. It's small and unimpressive sometimes. It is easy to miss. Let that sink in. But give it time. It grows into a tree that provides shelter for the birds of the air. Amen? We have to remember that he is trying to describe something that goes against the nature of what people would automatically think about what the kingdom of God is like. And if I were to think about this clearly, I think the first thought that I have for us today is the kingdom begins in ways we can easily miss. And I think that should be something that should open our ears and open our eyes to the things of the Lord. It says in verse 19, it is like a grain of a mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his garden. See, the mustard seed, yes, it is tiny. And if you hold it in your hands, if you drop it in the grass, guess what? You probably will have a hard time finding it again, right? But he is trying to give the picture of where the beginning starts, how impactful the kingdom of God can be. And do not neglect the small areas, because what it can grow into is something pretty large. And understand this, within the garden that Jesus is talking about, he is talking about a massive shrub that birds could probably rest on if they needed to. It is massive to the point that it takes a huge percentage of that garden when planted by just one little mustard seed. See, you have to understand this, like I said before, could you imagine what the disciples were thinking, what the people were thinking, what the synagogue leaders were thinking? They were probably thinking in some areas like we would think. They expected the kingdom of God to arrive with force. They expected the Messiah to come and overthrow Rome. They expected a massive and something immediate. And I think in our day today, if we're not careful, I think we can do the same thing, right? Sometimes we can look at, say, what the kingdom of God is and neglect maybe what he truly is trying to do. And I think that is something that we need to be mindful of in our walk, in our relationship with Christ. We need to acknowledge not only the big areas of our lives, but we also need to acknowledge the small areas of our lives as well. Amen? We have to acknowledge it because I think the temptation is very clear in a culture that is very visual today. It is, we have so much information that is given to us today that we can lose sight of that mustard seed. We can lose sight of that new beginning that Christ Jesus is trying to grow and develop. Sometimes we expect fruit so quickly. And guess what? If it doesn't grow as fast, sometimes we can neglect it and say, man, God ain't working in this. It's not growing fast enough. Sometimes it's visible influences in our lives, like the big stages, it's viral posts, it's our platform moments. Sometimes it's impressive buildings, huge crowds, perfect programs. But if we're saying that that could be the case, then potentially we could be confusing influence with fruit or gifting. Sometimes we can confuse other kingdoms with the kingdom of God. And I want us to be very clear, there is his kingdom and there are other kingdoms. And I really want to share that there's one kingdom outside of the kingdom of God, and that's the kingdom of evil, kingdom of the devil, kingdom of the enemy of our soul, right? So I want us to be very clear and open and clear-minded on that. We have to acknowledge this. We have to bear in mind that God is working and starting something in all of us, and he has started something in all of us. But let's just say this, even outside of the examples I've given, maybe the situation is much deeper than that. Maybe we're neglecting the small areas, the seed, the mustard seed type of mindset or atmosphere because of what we're going through right now. Maybe it's because we've been praying and praying so hard and believing God for something that is not moving quick enough. Maybe it's because we've been praying for God to turn something around and he's not turning it around in our timeline. Maybe it is because we are new to our faith and we understand that we want to look like Jesus and be like Jesus and overcome all the things that we're walking through, but then the frustrations of just living in the same stuff over and over, we're neglecting that God is truly working. There are things that the Lord is doing, and I pray that we're able to identify through the work of his Spirit that lives inside of those who are believers, those of us who believe that Christ is King. Hopefully we can acknowledge that he is working even in the smallest things in our lives. He is working in the areas that we cannot imagine or think because he is King. And what this text is allowing us to see is that it is him who is doing the growing, not me. Amen? It is him who is growing and not me. I cannot manufacture what God can do, even though sometimes we get tempted to do it. But we can't do what God can do, right? And I think for us, in the context of this text, we can take a look at this moment and say, what are the moments that we could be missing? What are the opportunities that we could be missing? And sometimes it's this. It's a quiet prayer for your child at bedtime sometimes. Sometimes it's a conversation about Jesus with your coworker. Sometimes it's consistently showing up to something that you're supposed to serve in without people seeing you, without having applause. Sometimes it's reading scriptures to a teenager while they're rolling their eyes because they want to do something else. Yeah. I was expecting that one, yes. Sometimes it's inviting somebody to church when you're not sure how they're going to respond. There are these little things that sometimes we can overlook because we don't know exactly what's going to happen at the end of that rope. But these moments may feel small, they may feel little, but understand that it is the word of the Lord, it is God himself that is sowing the seed, that is going to grow that seed out of the situation. Can I give you an example for what we're saying here? One time when I was newly in Christ, there was a moment where the Lord just put in my heart to go to all of my high school and just start sharing about Jesus. It got to a point where people were running away from me. I think I've shared it with some of you before. People just were like, oh goodness, there's Patrick and everything like that. But then it came to a point where a really good friend of mine that really was just not wanting to hear anything about Jesus, I was able to sit down with him. I was able to invite him to church every week. And I said, I would share testimonies of what God is telling me. I would share testimonies of what I was reading in scripture. And he was like, yeah, that's great for you, Patrick. That's really good for you. I'm glad. But, you know, you can leave me out of it, you know. But it was unique because I spent a lot of time speaking to this individual and I didn't know what was going to come of it. I actually kind of gave up on it. And then after graduating high school, I would say 16 to 18 years later, I find this gentleman at a gas station. He was at a gas station and he said, is that Patrick Ega? And I said, yes, who's that? he says, me, James. I haven't seen you in years. I said, yeah, I haven't seen you in a long time. So we caught up for a little bit, and he just kind of shared a testimony with me. He shared a testimony saying that he had allowed Christ to be king of his life maybe 4 years ago from that point. And the unique thing was, I remember seeing him in my prayer journals asking the Lord to do a work in his life. And the unique thing, it didn't come when I wanted it to come, because I wanted to see the fruit then, and I wanted to see the fruit there. I didn't see how God was operating in the smallest things. I didn't see that God, through me, kind of saying, you know what, I'm just going to walk away from this and keep going. I didn't think that the Lord was going to do anything with that, but God was sowing a seed. And this is what he shared with me. He said, I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you because it was you and a few others that were always inviting me to church. And I don't want you to feel discouraged back then. I know I probably discouraged you. But it was you sowing a seed, sharing how important Jesus is to you, that God helped me to recognize how good he is for my life. And yes, it happened many, many years later, but the mere fact is that it happened. And I think for some of us who are walking through things, walking through relationships, walking through challenges, walking through the smallest moments where we just don't think God is going to do anything, I just want us to stay in the place of hope, understanding it is not us who is going to create the fruit. It is God who's going to create the fruit. And hopefully we're submitted and surrendered enough that we can acknowledge his timeline is better than our timeline. Amen? I think this is going to be helpful to us. This is very helpful to us because it just reminds us that he is king over time. He's king over the seed we sow. He's king over the growth period, and he's king over the plant. He's king over the things that we want to accomplish sometimes, but really he's king over the plans that he has for each and every one of us. Whether it is to utilize us to plant seeds, whether it is to utilize to be a part of that process of growing and disciple making, whether it is to see somebody at this moment where they're just ready and living in their gifting and fruit, whatever it is that the Lord has called you into, just understand it is his workmanship and not your own. It's not my own, it is him. Amen. Which leads us to the second thought. It's what God plants always grows beyond what we expect. You see, in verse 19, it shares this understanding. It says, this tree, this shrub grew and became a tree. The mustard seed had a process where it was in the ground, began to grow, and it became a tree. You see, the interesting thing about this is that the language that Jesus is using is a mustard seed. The mustard seed wouldn't grow into an actual tree. It would actually grow into a big shrub within a garden at that time, right? But it seems as if Jesus is doing something unique and utilizing language that we could actually find in Ezekiel chapter 17, verses 22 through 24. It shares in this that I myself will take a fig from a lofty top of the cedar and plant it. It will grow into a noble cedar, and the birds of every kind will find shelter in its branches." Jesus is trying to express something through this teaching for them to understand the kingdom of God, that it is Him who's going to grow it, it is Him who's going to prepare the branches, and it's the birds of the air that will find rest within those branches. It will find that peace within that those branches. He's trying to express something that we find in the prophet Ezekiel when he's prophesying through the Babylonian exile. He's trying to express something through the David's kingdom that had fallen and Israel had at that moment been crushed. But still, even in the midst of being crushed, God still had a promise. And His promise is that I will plant a twig from David's line. I will grow a kingdom myself. It will become a tree that shelters the nations. It is something that gives us a perspective that these branches are not just for us, but it is for many. It is going beyond the normative nature of what they would think those branches would be for. For us today, I think we look at it and understand that, hey, I have my personal strategies, but really Jesus is trying to reveal the kingdom strategy here. He's giving a strategy that, yes, you know, things will start off small. Things will start off where it's easily to miss. But understand this, the impact of what will come out of that seed is something so big, something so profound, that birds all over the place will be able to rest in its branches. And I think sometimes we often kind of think of things in a certain way. We often look at success and certain things that God is trying to do by the size and the speed, the spectacle of it all. But understand this, God grows things that He wants to grow by His faithfulness, by His time, and with His power. And I think today we should understand this. If we were to take this mustard seed and understand it in the context of the gospel message of Jesus Christ, we understand that Jesus was not born in a colosseum. He wasn't born in a kingdom. He was born in a manger. We understand that it started small. We understand that He lived a life. Yes, it was perfect. Yes, He had miracles. But yet still, He was a teacher that people would still misunderstand. He was a person that lived that life. But what happens after that is He's expressing something in front of them, a kingdom that is growing, meaning that it's something that's continuous. And it starts with, if we were to say the gospel message, yeah, it may have started off small. Yes, it may have started off where we may not be able to witness its growth. But understand this, through the Bible that we read, we understand on the day of Pentecost, through the upper room experience, that 120 people were praying, and then all of a sudden it grows, meaning the message of the gospel has now grown into something where billions of people around the world serve the Jesus that we serve. Amen? We have to acknowledge this, that if we were to take in the context what happened in Uganda, we can talk about Uganda and the mission trip in Uganda, but understand this, there were four missionaries in the 1800s that brought the gospel to Uganda, which now 18 million or more people are serving and following Jesus in that country right now. We look at the context of small beginnings. We look at things that are very small, and sometimes we can neglect it and just not look at it the way that it needs to. But I hope that this captures your attention, captures your affection for what God is trying to do. Even in the smallest things, God is still working. In the process of growth, God is working, and He's growing it. And yes, I know it doesn't look like our time. I know we want it now, but here, understand this, the character He's producing, the things that He's doing in you, the testimonies that are coming out of the things, He is working that growth for all of us. He is working that growth for all of us. And I pray that we don't minimize these small beginnings. We do not minimize these small things that God is trying to accomplish, not only in our lives, but in others' lives. You see, if God is saying, if Jesus is saying what I think He is saying, which I think He is really saying, He talks in verse 13, 19, he shares something with us that helps me to create this third thought that we should have. The kingdom is bigger and wider than our boxes. 19, verse 19 says, "And the birds of the air may nest in its branches." See, the Old Testament would say that they were reflecting on the Israelites and God doing it for just the Israelites, but Jesus is trying to open a picture up that what is about to happen is about to open up not just for the nation of Israel or people who are of Israeli descendants. He is opening it up for the nations to experience. He is opening it up for all of us to be able to experience this kingdom expression. We have to acknowledge that he alone is the one who is doing this work now. It is no longer just one person or one people, but he is wanting to do it in all of us. Meaning he's opening it up to every tribe, every tongue. And I know in our context today that we can find ourselves getting comfortable in certain situations. Sometimes we can reduce the kingdom to one nation. Sometimes we can reduce the kingdom to a political movement. Sometimes we can reduce this whole expression to a cultural expression. Sometimes we can shrink it down to denomination or our church style or just our language. Sometimes we can act like the kingdom only matters where we are comfortable, meaning around the people that we're comfortable with, around the areas we're comfortable with. We can reduce the kingdom to just that. But if we take the imagery of what Jesus is trying to plant, and the imagery is saying that if there is a tree that grows into something big because of a mustard seed, because of its small beginnings, understand this, children can find shade underneath that tree. Communities can gather underneath that tree. People can find refuge underneath that tree. And I hope for us who are walking and learning to walk in Christ can understand if he's able to do that for the nations, there are things that are happening in our lives right now that he can do inside of us that seem very small and very minute. He can do and produce things and grow it so that it impacts, and that impact can help in making branches for others to come to know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Can I get a strong amen on that? Amen. He is a good God. Amen. 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 But I think we have to remember these things because it's easy to get distracted. It is very easy. And I think that's something we say pretty often, especially in our modern world. There's a lot of distraction things that can help us, well, distract us from these branches that Jesus is trying to illustrate. But I want to share with us today that I think if there's any danger for us as a church, if we're not careful, we'll let other kingdoms shape how we think about God's kingdom. We'll think bigger is better, faster is success, loud equals important. If we adopt the world's expressions, we'll miss what God is really trying to do right now in our midst at this very moment. We need to be so full of his kingdom, though. We need to be so full of his Holy Spirit that we recognize, though, those small beginnings, those areas that are not so loud, that are not so brash. But hear me on this. Don't let another kingdom define the kingdom of God for you. Don't let the cultural expressions define who he is. Don't let our politics define who God is. Don't let the internet or social media express so much to us that it defines the kingdom of God for us. No, let it be the word of the Lord. May it be you getting in his presence and seeking him out and seeking out who he is. May you find him and may you acknowledge how good he is through the reading of these words that he has written for us through the power of his Holy Spirit. But sometimes when we do recognize that he is working, that he is doing something, even in the small things, let us be understanding of this. There are moments where things are so small and it's very easy to start criticizing those small areas, even in today's world. Yeah, sometimes we can hold on to certain timelines that do not match his timeline. But can we begin to start celebrating the small areas? Celebrate them. Don't criticize them. Acknowledge that God could be working in them. Anchor your hope in his timeline, not your own. Join him in planting what he is trying to grow. And I think if we do these things, I know if we do these things, you'll begin to see people differently. You'll be able to see people in a way not like how you perceive them, but you'll be able to see them maybe the way that the Lord sees them. Like a bird from the air that needs a branch, that needs shelter, that needs a place, that needs a peace, that needs a Sabbath, that needs a hope, that needs his goodness. Hopefully we can see and share that moment with others. But even when that does happen, I think faith then arises in us. Joy grows in us. Obedience that sometimes doesn't feel natural to our flesh begins to feel more natural because we are going after his kingdom, not missing the little things, but joining in the process of what God is trying to water, produce, and grow. We are going after him in everything. It's like for me, one time I gave a small little offering of $3 in a missions offering many years ago, and it's interesting that even in that $3, I still had a testimony that came from the area that we gave to of how I was able to feed a family for a week. It is in those little things that we think are minute and just don't matter that God can do some pretty phenomenal things. He is still the God that grows things and produces in and through our lives. So let's be careful in what kingdom we're following. Let's be careful with what we are allowing to grow in us. And I think it's very clear for us, there are a few things that we need to acknowledge too, as we are developing, as we are growing, as God is discipling and sending disciple makers in our lives, there are some of us that process a little bit differently. I think there's some of us who I would say are thinkers. Anybody a thinker? For me, I think a lot. I think in my head all day. Sometimes I can get loud for a moment, and sometimes I can get quiet for a moment because I'm always thinking. And sometimes I have this issue where, you know, sometimes I'm thinking so much that I am waiting for God to fit in a plan perfectly. And I think some of us can do the same thing. But if I'm being honest, we all need, all of us who are thinkers, all of us who are intellects, need to not only think, not only use our intellect, but we also need to engage with what God is doing. Even if it doesn't align perfectly, it's starting to say, yes, I will go, even though it doesn't make sense to my mind, I'm going to trust you in the process because I know that you're doing something in our midst. I know that there are some of us who are young in our faith, some of us who are growing up. Maybe we came to know Christ maybe a few weeks ago, a few months ago, or a year ago. Just remember, I know that some of us desire this transformational work that God is trying to do in our lives, and we want that transformation to happen now. But here's the thing. Let us understand that there is this mustard seed of the gospel that is developing in you, and don't neglect the small areas that God is trying to grow out of you. Certain things within your character, within your integrity, within the things that you need to learn in life, acknowledge that he is doing a good work in you. Amen? For those of us who might be curious, who don't even know who Jesus is, you've been curious for so long, and here I just want to share with you, for all of us who might be walking in curiosity, the branches that Jesus is talking about is wide enough for you. His love, his power, his goodness, his mercy is available for you. And don't miss the mustard seed, because what he has for you is a new life that you can find in him. And for us who are seasoned believers, I think some of us can rely on yesterday's growth and miss what God is planting now. Don't just stand in the shade of yesterday. Be in the process of his branches of today, amen. Allow him to stretch you again. Believe in him in areas that you've lost belief. Again, God, who has begun a good work in you, is faithful. Can I get an amen? He is faithful to finish that work in you. And for all of us who are in this place here at Legacy Church, I think the reminder for a message today is, even though things are small right now, don't neglect the fact that God is working right now. Don't get so lost in your head that you're thinking that if I can just jump into this movement, if I can just jump into this moment and experience this whole thing in this other area, that he's doing something over there. No, he is doing something right now. He is doing something in you right now. He is doing something even in Legacy right now. And hopefully we don't miss what he's doing, because it's a mustard seed right now. Hopefully we're a part of the process of how he's growing everything, not only in your life, but even here at church, or even in your workspaces, or even in your families, or even with your coworkers, anywhere that you are really, really going after the Lord, don't neglect it. Amen? For some of us, I know that this is a tough, but I pray that it's an encouraging message. Be reminded today, the kingdom of God, he is at work. And even though the seed may be small, understand that he is developing a tree that has branches, not just for you and I, but for those who are around you and I. And not only for those who are just you around you and I, but even for the nations of this world. Can I get an amen on that? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your power. We thank you that you are in charge of growth. We thank you that you are the one who sows great seed in great soil. I ask today, Lord, that if any of us are in a place where we're maybe not understanding the moment, that you, Holy Spirit, you would help us identify those mustard seed areas that we're struggling, that maybe we're not even paying attention to right now. Help us, oh God, to be obedient in the work that you're trying to call us to, even in the small areas of beginnings. Help us to stay faithful if we did acknowledge those small seeds, but now are developing and it's growing, but maybe it's not in the timeline that we expect, oh God. But I just ask, Father, that you would give us patience, that you would grant us your mercy and your grace as we walk in this season. Help us, oh God, to see your kingdom more effectively. Help us to see it in the different stages that you grow and are growing things. Help us, oh Lord, to find joy and rest within the branches that you are growing. And Lord, push back the plans of the enemy of our soul that produces different kingdoms or different ideas. Help us to be settled in who you are. Help us to grow in who you are. And help us with the process of how you're doing all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.